I want to show you, as we've been going through our series, The Whole Armor of God, I want to bring to your attention some of the things about the armor that is so very critical. How many, you know, I don't know about you, but I've always grown up as a big kid, so this is a big pleasure for me, all right? So I'm just saying. All right. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read the verse that talks about the whole armor of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start and want to talk about the role that the armor plays in your life. The Bible says that we are in a warfare. How many of you ever felt like you've been in warfare before? Look at your neighbor and say, today I'm walking out prepared. You know, here's the thing. I want you to see what the Romans wore, what they put on. This is a exact replica of what the Roman soldiers would wear. And when Paul talked about putting the whole armor of God on, he understood what he meant. And every piece of it has its place. So I want to start off with this understanding. What is it that each piece represents as we get ready for our Christmas and we're ready to go? Didn't they do an awesome job for the Christmas play? Wasn't it amazing? But I want us to read, starting at verse 14, let's read what it tells us to do when it comes to the armor of God. Let's read. Read on. Keep on. Going down to verse 18. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are pieces of the armor of God as a believer that Paul uses as a literal example to explain a spiritual understanding. And he walks in an order so that each of us would understand the importance of an armor. Spiritually, God's not asking us to walk around and get this and walk around and go grocery shopping. Obviously, it might hurt a little bit. It might make you weigh down a little bit. But the reality is there is something to be said about an armor. And so the armor is always used to protect. Look at your neighbor, say, it will protect me. The purpose of Paul's explanation and illustration is to bring clarity to you that there is something to be protected. And the thing to be protected is you. So Paul begins by saying something very simple. He begins to say, first of all, that there are pieces of the armor. And of all the pieces of the armor, all of them represent a defensive action, except for one. All of them are defensive. They are protective, but there is one that is not. And we're going to find out what that is. I want to begin with the belt. We gird ourselves with the belt of truth. Everyone say belt of truth. Now, when Paul begins to say, having our loins girt about with truth, this is what he's referring to. A leather jerkin that covers the loin area of our body. It is the area that where we have reproduction. It's the area that's sensitive. It's the one area that we need to protect because from that area comes life. And the only way you can reproduce life is if you understand truth. You can have all kinds of reproductions and you can reproduce you, but is it a you that is full of truth? See, if I don't raise my sons and daughters the way God told me to, they're going to look just like me. They're going to behave just like me. But if I want them to be godly, then I've got to gird them with His truth. I'm a mess in my flesh. Hello, somebody. You know, I told my wife when we get married, I said, when I stop seeking God, when I stop seeking heaven, I'll be hell on earth to you. And that's a reality. When a husband or wife stops looking for God, they become, the husband or wife becomes their God. And they begin to say, how come you're not this for me, that for me? Well, listen, when your focus is on the truth, when your focus is on God, then you don't have to, you'll stop complaining about what God gave you. Hello, somebody. You'll start loving him like, man, God, you good, you make good choices for me. Why? Because you see them through the lenses of truth. They're never going to be like you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Imagine there were two of you in your house. Y'all got that one real good, right? You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Makes good sense. No. The belt protects our area of reproduction, and we are supposed to produce life. Truth is spoken because you give life to people by the way you think. You've got to gird your loins, and that what you reproduce should not be lies, should not be untruth, should not be deception. What you reproduce should be life and truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, life. The loins is where life and generations are produced from us. But here's where he ties the truth here. He wants you to tie it on and protect that area where your life comes from and the most important part of you. Because when that area is destroyed in your life, then you are destroyed. You can never reproduce again. Your name goes down in history and it will never come up again. The way you create a legacy in your life is by reproducing Jesus in the earth. Yes. And your name goes along with his name. Hello, somebody. Watch this. I want you to turn to Proverbs 16 and 6. And we're just going to read from the King James Version. Proverbs 16 and 6. And when you have it on the screen, I want you all to read it together. Go. Hold on. Did y'all see, y'all should have been slapping each other, running around, kicking somebody, because you just got a truth that will blow your mind. Now, how many of you have ever been caught up in a habit? A hurt, a hang up, hatred, just too hungry. Watch this. God, how do I get out of this rut that I'm in? How do I purge myself from this thing that keeps causing me to stumble, this thing that keeps messing up my life, this thing that keeps causing me not to reach my full potential? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall... But the Proverbs makes a clarity to this. Watch what it says. It says, by what? Mercy. Mercy isn't given to people who aren't guilty. Mercy is only necessary when you are already found guilty. So he says, by mercy, number one, that first of all, don't hide yourself from God. Don't hide who you are. Tell him the truth, the whole truth. And then he says, by mercy and truth, meaning that you understand you made a mistake. You understand you have a hang up. But when you come to God in truth, what does the Bible say will happen? Iniquity is purged. We're not simply talking just a cover up. You want to break your habits? You got to come out in the open. You want to break a sin? Bring it to God in the light. Take secrets will keep it manifesting and multiplying. But when you confess your sins to God and you gird your loins with truth, then your iniquities, your hang-ups, your hurts, and your habits will be broken off of your life. Not only broken, but purged out of your system. Have your loins girt about with truth. And then he goes on and said, and then wear the breastplate of righteousness. Now this is very important because your breastplate protects vital organs. It protects what? Your heart. It determines who you are. It says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, not your righteousness. You just got the word which tells you about his righteousness. So put it on and let it protect your heart. Let the word decide where you go, where you stop, and where you start. I want you to look at another proverb. We're going to look at it in the King James Version. It says Proverbs 4 and 23. Would you look at it, please? Proverbs 4. And 23. Do we have it up there yet? Proverbs 4 and 23. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Do we have it on the screen? When we have it on the screen, say amen.
Amen.
There we go. Let us read. Go. You see, in King James it says, keep your heart with all due diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. This isn't talking about the issues we were just talking about. I want you to read it in the New Living Translation. We're going to turn to this verse in the New Living Translation so you can see it. When we get there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read it. Did you hear what it said? Guard your heart above all else. For what you allow in your heart will determine the course of your life. In other words, in King James' word, guard your heart with all due diligence, for out of it flows the issues. The word issues in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word boundaries. What do you allow in the boundaries of your heart? For it will determine where you go. How many know there's some places you can't go? Some things you can't see. Some things you can't do. Because some things you can't undo once you've done them. So you have to have truth and righteousness to create boundaries in your life. So that you, as the end of the verse says, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you have boundaries, you've got to know it is okay to say no. Look at your neighbor and say no.
No,
no, no, you got to say it like you're about to spit on it. No. I think I saw somebody spit on somebody. You got to be able, see, listen, the thing about being a Christian isn't how to say yes, it's how to say no. You got to work on your vocabulary, because we've been saying yes to every pressure in the world, but a person of righteousness learns how to say no. That ain't right. I'm standing for righteousness. I don't have to go there. I don't have to break my reputation. I don't have to lay down and take that. We ain't married yet. No.
Amen.
Breastplate of righteousness tells everybody what you have in your heart. You've got to have a good breastplate, because the enemy is always going to try to strike you where you have no boundaries. You can't come to a red light and not know what it means. They teach you before you can get your license what a red light is, what a yellow light is, what a green light is, so you don't have to guess when you get to the intersection. Because if you wait to figure it out when you get to the intersection, you're going to have an accident. So they're going to tell you, this is what red means, yellow means, green means. So you have boundaries you are already aware of. So when you get to that situation in your life, you can say, no. You know, many times God will test you after every good teaching. I need you to hear me. God will test you after every good teaching. And you'll think you're ready for it. The day you think you're ready for the test, it's the next day. How many know that's true? You come out of church, God, I got it. Man, I got that. I'm ready for that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he'll wait 30 days. I'm like, God, why didn't you do it when I was ready? I remember I did a teaching on honor, and I said, you know, sometimes people will do things and give you things. And let's say you go to McDonald's and you order a Big Mac, large fry, and a vanilla shake. I know I'm getting hungry right now. And then you start to drive away. You look in your bag. You got two Big Macs, a large fry, and a shake. What do? Y'all hear all that murmuring? What do y'all do? No. Some of y'all be like, oh, Jesus. God, thank you. And you know that man back there full of grease popping them hamburgers. He didn't have to make that extra one for you. I'll never forget, I taught that teaching, and we got in the car, and we were on our way out of church, and Dustin, my son, Dustin, stand up, would you please? Dustin, where's Dustin at? Where are you at, boy? In the back? Boy, I taught you better now. You better get down here, boy. You better get down here. No, my peeps ain't in the back. They always in the front. Come on now, man. Sit down here by your mama. Amen. Boy, don't get me started. There we go. There's my boy. Amen, amen. No, sit down, son. Go ahead, sit down. Man. Y'all try to take my place. Anyway, right after I taught that teaching, we went to McDonald's. And I got in that line, ordered a Big Mac, large fry, vanilla shake. Got my bag, was driving off. Dustin looked in the bag. Dad, you got two Big Macs in here. What you gonna do? See, sometimes if you just be honest about it, I remember turning around and I went back to the window. I said, ma'am, sir, you made a mistake. I only ordered one Big Mac and you put two in the bag. And they said, oh, I forgot to tell you, it's buy one, get one free. Now watch this. Some people are going to hell over a Big Mac. Because y'all would have never turned around. Didn't know God already set you up to be blessed. But you don't know it because you're trying to be sneaky. And you eat the Big Mac, but you ain't happy. But you needed to go back to see how God blessed you. Honesty and righteousness will always reveal God's hand. It's called integrity. Let's move on. The Bible says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not only did they have the armor to protect the heart, not only did they have the loins protected for truth, but they had the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The key word here is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have your feet shod with the preparation. It didn't say have your feet have gospel on it. You have to prepare yourself with the gospel. I have never, listen, what do you think it would look like if the war broke out with a soldier? And he's going to battle, and they're coming at him with swords, and he's down there trying to put his shoes on. He ain't gonna last long. He had to prepare himself before the battle. Why would Paul use shoes? Why would he call it that the gospel prepares you for the kind of battle? It's because you need something between you and the warfare. Okay, I need someone that's willing to be an example with me. You got it? Come on up here. All right, take your shoes off. Go on down to your socks. I mean, to your feet. Have your feet shod. With what? A peace. Meaning that the gospel that you should be carrying wherever you walk is not the kind of peace that is, I like everybody to get along. It isn't that peace. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. So what peace is he talking about? He's talking about the peace between men and God. So you've got to have a reconciliation message on your mouth. Hey, man, you got to be reconciled back to God. But listen, why would he do it this way? All right, now son, come over here. Stand over there, please. Now, if you're going to battle me, okay? You ain't ready. I can tell he ain't ready for me. I'm old school, baby. He be down. All right. It's the jeans. Okay. Now, I want you to walk to me and put your hands on my righteousness. Go. Good. Go back. I don't know what that was. Now, I want you to come at me, but you got to walk on the rocks to get to me. Wow! Okay? I can walk on rocks and get to you, right? That's warfare. Walk on the rocks to get to me. No, on the rocks. Okay, stop. Now watch. His feet are not prepared for battle. You can't fight the enemy unless you put your shoes on. Because your feet are too sensitive. You need something between your flesh and this mess. It's called the gospel. You can't do warfare unless you got something on your feet. Because we grew up soft, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Listen, you better understand, you can't go to battle without shoes on. You got to have something between you and what you're fighting. When Jesus went into the wilderness, the Bible says that literally he took Jesus to a high mountain and said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give them to you if you bow down to me. Now, I need you to understand something. The enemy took your Savior to the highest mountain. How in the world did he do that? He had power. It didn't say he showed Jesus. He took Jesus. What you going to do with a dude that can do that? Here's what Jesus said. He says, it is written, you shall only worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou only serve. He spoke the word. And the enemy, watch this, could not mess with the word that he prepared his feet with. And the Bible says when he finished, the angels came. How did he get off the mountain? You might have asked that question. The angels came and ministered to this man. Put him back in his right place. Why? Because angels don't move on your word. They move on his. Amen. Thank you, son. You've got to have the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Here's what it says. Turn to John 15, starting in verse 7. I want you to see something. John 15, starting in verse 7. When you have it on the screen, there we go. Let's read. Read on.
When you believe the blessed food, you are my disciples. This brings great glory to my Father.
Read on verse 11.
I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love.
Now watch this. It says, listen, these things I have spoken to you that your joy may be full. He says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. And he ends the thought was with this. And you know why that's important to you? He says, so that your joy may be full. In other words, you want joy? Let God move in your life. Let your words be spoken, and all the earth has to bow down. Have you ever seen God move for you like that, where you ask for something and God does it? It's the happiest moment you ever been in, because you're like, man, I just prayed about that. I just asked God for that, and God answered me. Why? Because you abide in him, and his word abides in you, and when you ask the Father, he is pleased to give it to you, because you got his word. That's how you unlock the joy of Christianity. If you are not enjoying Christianity, it's because you don't have enough word. You need more of it. More word. And listen to me, not just word to put in your belly, but word you're willing to let out your mouth. God, I need you to change the weather. God, I need you to change this job. God, I need this finance. God, I need a miracle. God, I need a healing. If you just loose it, then you'll see how God is willing to fight for you. The reason your identity is lost about who the Father is because you don't ask him anything. We complain, but we don't request. What is it that you may have been complaining about? You need to turn into a request. Why keep thinking about it? Why don't you command what's supposed to happen? And then your joy will kick in the gear. We're almost done. I want to show you something else. Watch this. Let's go down to the shield of faith. We talked about that. He says, take unto you the shield of faith. The shield of faith. This is an exact replica of what the Romans used. This piece right here was when they got close, they could push people with it. Use it to knock them off balance. The interesting thing about this shield is this. Most people don't understand. It's to keep off the fiery darts of the wicked one. Taking the shield of faith. Meaning your ability to survive what the enemy throws at you is you've got to have faith. You've got to believe. But I need you to understand something. For all of our loners in the church who say, you know what? I can find God all by myself at home. I don't need the church. How many ever heard someone say that before? And you think, well, I can do this on my own. I got this. God loves me. He don't love me any less than you. And you start fighting the people in front of you, and you're just wasting your time. Because if you understood the armor of God, you'd understood the shield of faith. See, what it does, it allows you, when they shoot the fiery darts, remember how I said last week, it's not for this, it's to hold it up. Because the fiery darts come from the sky. Well, what happens is, when it hits your shield, it's looking to cause your shield to catch on fire. And when fire comes, they're trying to get you to let go of your shield. But it's a shield of faith. So when fiery darts come, you can't let go of your faith. It's your faith that is going to keep you alive. When it gets hot, you don't let it go. There's a truth to this. Watch this. We think of it in singular terms. But the reason they made this shield this way is to create a formation called the tortoise, in which multiple soldiers grab their shield, lift it over their heads, and move and advance into the enemy's territory. So when the darts come by, I'm protected by his shield, and he's protected by my shield, and I'm protected by their shield. And together, with our faith together, we're able to advance on the enemy's ground and take his castle. What am I saying? This shield of faith was never meant to be used alone. It was meant to be used in formation with other believers. You're stronger together. It ain't about going to church on your own. It's about having the shield of faith and you guys building a wall with your faith against anything the enemy might throw at you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, where's your shield? Look at the other side and say, link up with me. See, we got to have each other's back. We've got to look and say, hey, man, you covered? Oh, you ain't covered? I got you. You may not have enough faith, but I got more than enough. I got you. This is how faith works. It works in conjunction with other believers so that you could do more than you did by yourself. We're going to get to the last one here. We got a couple, and then we're done. What's the next one, church? Ephesians tells us, what is it? The Bible goes on and says, and take the helmet of salvation. Remember what we talked about? You got to know that you know that you know. This piece right here protects you from behind. And this protects you from above. Your ear gate is protected. Your eye gate is protected. And this protects you in your mouth when they try to hit you. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation will always make you check all the gates of your life. What you listen to, what you look through, and what you say. Salvation gets you to think a different way because you're not used to this supernatural way of living. So you've got to study the Word of God, let it be your shield of faith, and you can fight because now it's in your mind. And once you've got it, you can perform like a supernatural son or daughter of God. You should be seeing miracles on your job and signs and wonders where you are. You have the same power the most powerful Christian you've ever met has. You have it in this room. Anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Catherine Coleman? Everybody in this room got the same spirit that they got. But they know their helmet. They understand their salvation. They study to show themselves approved of God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the word does for us. It keeps our mind together. And I'll end with this one. The short sword. Many people look at this sword and they wonder, how come it's not longer? How come it's not one of those big ones you see like in Excalibur and back in the days? No, this one's for short combat. But I need you to understand what this is. It says, and take unto you the sword of the Spirit. If you have never heard me, I need you to understand something. You have a weapon that the Holy Ghost uses. Do you understand that there is a weapon to defeat everything that you're facing that God Himself uses? It said, take unto yourself the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word God. This is your offensive weapon. It's the same blade forged from heaven's gates. It is burned and bloodied in the battles with the supernatural and has never lost a fight. It is the weapon that God Almighty carries with Him. It is the Word of God. You want to do what God does? You take the weapon that God uses. He has bestowed it upon you. Do you understand that every one of you has access to the most powerful weapon ever formed in the universe? And all Paul said was, take it. Take it. Who wants to hold the sword? I said, who wants to hold the sword? I said, who wants to hold the sword? There you go. Many will raise their hand, but you must take the sword. Do you see that? It's not enough to say you want it. It's not enough to say you want it. You must take the sword. How many are willing to take the sword? Listen, your life will change. Your job will change. Your marriage will change. Your outlook on life will change. Your health would change. Your joy would change if you just take the sword and begin to use what the Holy Ghost uses when He does His job. If you would just take hold of the word, take out an hour of your day, 30 minutes of your week, and begin to study the word of God so that you have the weapons when the enemy comes in like a flood, you can raise up that standard against him and he can't touch you. You've got to know that this sword belongs to you. All my soldiers in the house, would you stand to your feet? I want you to think what I got on in the natural, you must have on in the spirit. Everything you need is found in this armor. Frontier, friends, family, those across the seas, it's available to all of us if you just take it. God wants you to shine like the armor does. He wants you to be a warrior like he is. He is a king. And the way that you fight off what the enemy has lied to you about is your shield of faith. Because God cannot lie. Right now in the room, how many, before we end this year, would make a commitment to becoming a disciple and learning to put on your armor this year? Not staying out in a battle and wondering why it's hurting. Why it looks like you always seem to stumble on the rocks. Why it looks like someone's always hurting your heart. Why your mind always seems confused. When the reality is all you really need is what already belongs to you. The armor of God. If you're here today and you're willing to make a new commitment this year to put on the full armor of God, I want you to do this. I'm going to have this sword right here. And I want you to come by and just grip the sword as a believer. Go back to your seat and say, Lord, I'm going to grab hold of what the Spirit has offered me.